Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Deborah Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Those orcas were trying to get a meal out of that little penguin. And that little penguin overcame his fear of man because he was more afraid of those orcas. And he hopped on that raft. And he found life. And in a way, it's so much like us, because we're being chased and absolutely run, ready to be devoured by the enemy, by an enemy much larger than us, an enemy that we have no way of fighting back with. And the Word of God says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, that the righteous run into it and they are safe. And just like that little penguin jumped, he just took a wild guess and jumped on top of that rubber raft where man was. And God's put a fear of man on animals ever since the flood. So wild animals are afraid of man. And that penguin was able to be rescued because man was a strong tower and saved that little penguin. And it's the same thing with Jesus Christ in us. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and they are safe. And that the name of God is a place of safety. It is a place of salvation. It is a place of new life. It's a second chance. It's a third chance. And tonight, I want to look at John, the 18th chapter, and I want to look at the name of the Lord and the name that Jesus Christ gave to us. And it's not the name of Jesus tonight. It's a different name. And the title of this message is, if I could have it up, I Am and Me. The I Am and Me. And I want to look tonight at the name I Am, and that Jesus Christ is the I Am. He is I Am that I Am. He was in the Old Testament. He is in the New Testament. And this Easter season, as we look and as we begin to prepare our hearts for Easter week and Passion Week, I want to look at this instance in John, the 18th chapter, and then we're going to launch from there. And I'm going to give you three things tonight about the I Am, how it can change our lives and how it can help us this Easter actually grow deeper in love with Jesus Christ. Are you ready? John, the 18th chapter. This is his last week. Judas has already gone to betray him. They've already had communion. He's already washed their feet. Judas has gone to Caiaphas, and he has gotten his money, and they have sent out the temple guard along with a Roman garrison. And so there are hundreds, literally, of soldiers that are now entering the Garden of Gethsemane to arrest Jesus. And John, the 18th chapter, it says in verse 3, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? Because now he's done praying. He's gone through that terrible time of testing and the last testing before he's going to face the cross. He knows they're coming for him. He sees the garrison, he sees the temple guard, he sees the hundreds of soldiers there with their weapons and their torches. Obviously, Judas has told them about Jesus, and they don't know if he's going to put up a fight. They know he's miraculous. They know he's done miracles. They're fully armed. And so there they are in the garden. There he is with his disciples. And knowing all things that would come upon him, I love that, went forward and said to them, whom are you seeking? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, they've never seen him. And Jesus said to them, I am. Because he, H-E, is actually italicized, which means it was not in the original text. So Jesus said, I am. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he had said to them, I am, they drew back and they fell to the ground. Now what happened in this scene is, as Jesus says, who are you seeking? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He speaks up and he says, I am. Again, the H-E is italicized. It was not in the original text. Now, if we go to John, the 8th chapter, if I can have that up on the overhead, Jesus referred to himself as I am. And in John, the 8th chapter, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So he identifies himself as the I am. And the I am we first find in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus when Moses is at the burning bush. Are you with me? But before we go there and we talk about the I am tonight, The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What is in a name? A name is identity. A name is utility. A name is relationship. There's much in the name of God. And when Jesus said, I am, to these soldiers, these armed soldiers, they fell back and they fell down. Because as he said, I am, the power of the Most High came through that name and absolutely sent them flying. In other words, they didn't take Jesus because of their force. They took Jesus because he willingly gave himself up. We know the story that Peter grabs a sword, one of the Roman swords, and he slices off Malchus's ear. Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, put your sword away. Would I not drink the cup that my Father has given to me? And he doesn't want Peter arrested. He doesn't want Peter crucified. And he quickly heals Malchus's ear. His last designated miracle before he goes to the cross. Malchus was the servant of the high priest. Therefore, he was a very high official in the temple of Jerusalem. He was a somebody that Peter had tried to slice his skull open. Thank God, and it's because of God that he missed. However, he did slice off the ear. And Jesus puts it back on. But there's the Roman garrison, and there's the temple guard, and they're laid out. And you know, Jesus looks and he says, I could call 12 legions of angels. You know, a legion has 6,000 angels in it. So 12 legions, do the math. 12 times 6,000, I think I did the math. We know in the Old Testament that one angel killed 185,000 people. So 12 legions of angels, let's see, that would be about 13,320,000,000 people that they would destroy. That's killing the earth several times over 2,000 years ago. In other words, the I am was there in that garden. The I am was about to go to the cross. The I am spoke his name, and they couldn't stand for the power of it. All of their weapons and all of their might and all the foolishness of man had to bow and fell at the name of I am. Now tonight I want to look at three things about the great I am that can change my life this Easter season. And I launched it. We looked at that little penguin, jumped in that boat. I said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe. And maybe you feel like that penguin tonight. Maybe you feel like you're being chased and spliced and diced. That this situation in this economy and your life, whether it's the economy or a marriage or a relationship, whether it's just the age that you're at, whether it's what you're facing with your job or no job, whatever it is, maybe you feel like there's nowhere to go and there's nowhere to run. And you're here in church and you're hoping and you're praying and you're trying to believe God. Tonight I've got a message for you that's going to help your faith tonight. Because the I am is alive and well, and the I am wants to show us three things. Number one, what does the I am and me have to do with tonight? Number one, Jesus is the I am, and I am not. He is the I am, and I am not. Let me say it again. To borrow a phrase from Louis Giglio's book, I Am Not, But I Know the I Am. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, I recommend it highly. I am is Jesus, and I am not is me. Now, what has that got to do with me and you and Easter and faith? Glad you asked. Because the first time we actually meet the I am is in the Old Testament in a theophany where he appears in a burning bush, right? You know the story? Moses has run. He's a stuttering, old, aging shepherd in the backside of a desert. He's run from Pharaoh. He killed somebody and off he goes. He's been 40 years. He's no longer a prince of Egypt. Now he's just an old shepherd. And he's out herding the sheep, and he's at Mount Horeb, which is the mountain of the Lord, and he sees a burning bush. And so he goes to see what this thing is because the bush isn't consumed in Exodus, the third chapter. And there Moses stands before this burning bush watching this phenomena, and a voice comes out of the bush and says, Moses, Moses, take off your shoes, for the place where you now stand is holy ground. And Jesus begins to speak to Moses. And God begins to say to him in Exodus, and if I can read this to you, in Exodus 3, 7, and 8, he goes and he says, the Lord says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a good and a large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, you know, all the heights. So there God is discussing this with Moses. He's watching this phenomenon. God is beginning to speak to him. And then God goes on to say, not only have I heard the cry of my people, but it says in verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Now, the I am is about to disclose who he is, because Moses says, wait a minute, God. I see a burning bush. You tell me you hear the cry of your people. You tell me that you're going to deliver them. And now you're telling me that you're going to send me. I am a stuttering, old nobody, a has-been. I was a somebody at one time, but now I'm the great nobody, and I don't even know who you are or what your name is. And if they ask me who is sending me, which I'm not even going to go yet, what am I supposed to say? And this is where God discloses his name to Moses, and he says, tell them that I am who I am, in Exodus 3:14. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. So the name I am actually means be. It's a verb, be. God is. God is. He is I am. And the wonderful thing about when he said I am in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, I am, and they fell down. The I am that was in the burning bush was now in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the I am was about to disclose one more aspect of his amazing, incredible, awesome power. Now, point number one, he is the I am, and I am not. So what does that mean? You know what it means? It means it takes the pressure off of us. I am not the Savior. I am not the Deliverer. I am not the Healer. I am not the Miracle Worker. I am not holding all things together by the word of my power. I am not all that in a bag of chips. I am not a ruler. I am not smart. I don't have to be because I know what I'm not. And God is looking for the I am nots so that the I am can be strong through them. Because he wasn't looking for a talented young prince of Egypt that could kill by his own power. He was looking for a stuttering old shepherd, a nobody and a has-been, that now understood that he was not, so that he could come face to face with the I am, so that the I am could now use the I am not. Do not ask me to repeat that. Let me just give you some ideas. Jesus is the great I am. I am the center of everything. I am running the show. I am the Lord. I am the everlasting Father. I'm the creator and the sustainer of life. I am inexhaustible and immeasurable. I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the living bread. I am the door. I am the vine. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. I am the captain of your salvation. I am the way. I am the truth. I am your life. I am resurrection. I am the baptizer of the Holy Spirit and fire. I am your righteousness. I am your sanctification. I am your banner. I am your healer. I am your protector. I am your just and exceeding great reward. I am that I am that I am that I am. I am the King of Kings and I am the Lord of Lords. I am that I am. Jesus. I am. He is I am. And we are not. So what is your name? Well, you know, this isn't a rah-rah, let's build you up and give you some God esteem. Because sometimes it's good to step back and realize who we're not. And who he is. We're not the ones that spoke and out of our breath and the wind of our life came forth the galaxies and the star systems. We are not the ones that set Pilates in space. We are not the ones that tell the sea how far to go and to stay there. We are not the ones that bring forth life. We are not the center of everything. We are not in control. We are not in control. We are not in control. The I Am is in control. The I Am has made this planet, owns this planet, owns you and I, owns 1,000 cattle on 1,000 fields. The earth is his. He says, if I were hungry, would I tell you? He's not out to smell our barbecue and our sacrifice. He is the I Am. He's in control. I'm not. I am not all powerful. I am not the solution. I am not calling the shots. I'm not running anything. I am not the head of anything. I'm not in charge of anything. I am not the maker. I'm not the savior. I'm not holding it all together. I'm not all-knowing. I'm not God. He is, but I know the I Am, and he knows me. How awesome is that? How awesome is that? You know what it means? It means that now, as the mama of this house, we can all just take a deep breath. You ready? You're not the one to get yourself a job. You're not going to be able to fix all this. You don't have all the answers. You can't get your retirement going. You can't sell your house. You can't, because you're not. He is the I Am, and he will, and he can, and he just needs people of faith like Moses when he got back up on his feet, and he looked at the I Am, just people of faith who do point number two, and that is that they are willing, that they are willing. So number one, Jesus said, I Am, who are you seeking? So point number one is, he is the I Am, and we are not. He's a big God, guys. He's so big. Sometimes we forget in our worried, anxious state of mind how big God is. How vast is his creation, and how much in control he truly and absolutely is. And I think he's just saying tonight, kids, just relax a little bit and actually enjoy being the I Am Not and having Dad as the I Am. What a thought. Point two. The I Am is willing when I'm not. The I Am is willing when I'm not. Now, what does that mean? Luke 5, the 13th verse of chapter 5 of the book of Luke, we see a leper. And a leper was, in those days, and still today, was the most dreaded disease on the planet because it was so contagious, there was no cure for it, and leprosy literally eats you alive. And we've seen pictures of lepers, and we've heard stories of lepers. And so when you had leprosy, you were absolutely and completely isolated, and you no longer were able to partake as a member of a family or a society. You were now the untouchable. You were now a nobody, and you were now one that was without hope, one that was without human compassion or human help, because you were untouchable, because to touch a leopard was to get the disease. And even under the law, you were to be isolated away. So here we see in Luke, the 5th chapter, we see a leper coming to Jesus. First of all, it took great courage for this leper to come. And he comes to Jesus, and he says to the Lord, Lord, if you're willing, let's go there. Turn with me to Luke, the 5th chapter. I'm not there, but I think I'll just read it to you. He said, Lord, if you're willing, I'm talking about the I Am, I'm talking about Easter. In Luke, the 5th chapter. In verse 12, it says that it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him. And that word implored means he begged him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, this leper did not say, Lord, if you're willing, you can touch me. He just said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. It was against the law for Jesus to touch him. But this is the I Am who made the law. And verse 13 says, then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. I am. I am. I am. I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy left him. The I am that I am. The one that met Moses at the burning bush. The one that said, tell them I am has sent you. The one that spoke in the Garden of Gethsemane. Who do you seek? Jesus of Nazareth. I am. And they fell down. That I am said to this leper, this untouchable, unhealable, without hope leopard. He said, I am willing. And he touched him and he was cleansed. Now, what does that mean to you and I? To me, it means that the I am is willing when I'm not. What does that mean when he's willing? Well, it means that just like Moses, God is asking me to do what I'm not able to do. Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. So I'm sending you to go deliver them. Now, wait a minute, God. You just said you're going to go deliver them and you're sending me. You got to be kidding. What can I possibly do? I'm broken down. I don't have any influence. I have no position. Pharaoh's after my head. You know my history. Why would you want to use me? I can't do a thing. God is not asking for us to do what he needs us to do in our own power. He doesn't need our strength. He doesn't need our talent. He doesn't need our human ability. What he needs are people of simple faith that are willing to touch the untouchable, are willing to look past the impossible and believe that the power of the I am can flow through them into that which has not been healed, that which has not been touched by hope, by love, by power, by the miraculous. Because if God can take a people that are born of the seed of Abraham, people of faith, people that can believe Jesus Christ is a resurrected I am that I am, people that can just be willing to do what they've never been willing to do, not because they can do it, but because he commands it, then you and I are going to see miracles working through our lives. Now look, it's difficult to be used by God to do anything when you don't think you have the ability to do it. But it's actually healthy when you realize that you don't. Because when you realize you can't, then you know that he has to. Grace comes at our weakest moments. You just got a pink slip. You got fired. You listen or laid off. You listen to the economy and you listen to the news. And all the news says, oh, it's getting bad out there. Unemployment's rising higher and higher. GM's about to go under. Why this is happening and that is happening. And you look at your finances and you look at what's just happened and you've just lost a really good job and you don't know how you're ever going to get another job in this valley, keep your house and keep paying your bills. You see, you can't. You can't go out there and make that happen. Oh, you can try. Like Peter, you can pick up a sword and try to defend God. Slice off an ear and get yourself arrested. It's called the work of the flesh. Or you can simply step back and realize that you are not, but he is. And he is willing. He is willing to do what you need him to do. If he's willing to touch a leper and cleanse a leper, he's willing to take care of you. He's willing to help you. He's willing to use you. But he doesn't need your ability. He just simply needs your faith. That's all. He's not asking us to do the healing. He's asking us to do the touching. He's not asking us to fix and come up with the answers. He's asking us to seek him and get the answer and let the power of God work through frail human vessels that are not, but that are hooked up to the I am. Does that make sense to you? Listen to this verse. Philippians 2, the Amplified in verse 12 through 13, speaking of Jesus. This is the great chapter of the Kaneho of Christ, the self-emptying of Christ, when he emptied himself of the glory that attended his deity. He was born, came in the likeness of sinful flesh, that he would go to a cross for us. You know this great chapter. And thereafter, Paul has said that at the mention of his name, because He's gone to that cross, and because he obeyed God to the point of death on a cross, that at the mention of that name, the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then in verse 12, it says in the Amplified, therefore, because of all this, because of what he's done, because the I Am is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because the I Am is the captain of our salvation, because the I Am is the author and the finisher of our faith, because the I Am is your sanctification, because the I Am is your righteousness, because he's done all of this. Therefore, it says, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, because Paul's writing to the church at Philippi, he's obviously not there. He's actually writing from a prison. He says, in my presence, but much more because I am absent. Work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling. Self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Working out your salvation means in awe, timidly shrinking, running from anything that would cause the I Am to be offended. And look at the next verse. Verse 13 says, not in your own strength. Again, I am not the center of the universe. I am not all-powerful. I am not infinite. I am not all-knowing. I am not. But I know the I Am, not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectively at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and the desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. You know what that says? It says, I am not willing, but he is. And if I'll just simply believe God, if I'll simply just say, okay, God, I don't want to touch the untouchable. I don't want to go do that. Lord, I didn't want to go to Africa and preach to 2,000 Messiah women. I didn't really want to do that. I wasn't really excited about going to a place I'd never been before and speaking to a people group I knew nothing about. But when the I Am said, I am going with you, I'm not asking you for your little white brain to figure all this out. I'm just asking for you to love these women enough to get on a plane and go talk to them. And I will, because I am going to work in you both to will and to do my good pleasure. You see, you may not want to get that friend out of a mess that they're in right now. You're not willing because it's just been ongoing and it's a scenario that you live with a lot. You got friends like that? You may not want to talk to that stranger or go touch that untouchable. You may not want to go out with the teams to the homeless. You may not want to go stand and serve in the food line. You may not want to go witness to that person on your job. You may not want to. You know, the I am not part of us, that part. But God says, I'm willing. And if you'll just yield to me, I will work in you to turn your heart so that what you would never do and you could never see yourself doing, that you go and you do what I want you to do because the I Am is working through you. Moses, I know you're a broken down shepherd. I know you're on the backside of the desert. I'm not here, Moses, because you were some has-been prince of Egypt. Moses, I'm with you. I'm going with you, Moses. I'm not asking you to heal the leopard. I'm just asking you to touch the untouchable. I need you to go to Pharaoh. I'll speak to Pharaoh through you. Are you getting this? I'm not asking you to save your friend. I'm just asking you to be willing to open your mouth and let me fill it and let me say what needs to be said in a word of knowledge that you won't even know is working. Because the I Am is willing. And he is now in us, Christ in me. The Spirit of the living God that raised Jesus from the dead is willing to touch the untouchable of this city. He is willing and wanting to heal the sick. He is willing and wanting to save those broken marriages. He is willing to let that drug addict that has been absolutely down and out and back and forth and up and down, and you're so sick of it, you don't even want him in your house anymore. You're done, you're done, you're done. But he's willing for another chance. Mercy comes in and he's willing. And he says, listen, children, first of all, you're not, but he is. So you can relax. You don't have to come up with the power, because you can't, but he has the power. Second, he's willing when you're not. All you have to do is say yes and let him will to work and give you the energy and the grace and the ability to do what you could never do, so that you can be people that you could never see yourself becoming. Because you see, God sees you with his potential in you. You look at yourself and you see what you're not. This little message about who you're not, actually, you know it very well. Because the devil probably tells you all the time that you're not. But the devil doesn't tell you that you are hooked up to the I am, that I am, that I am, that is. And he's looking for vessels to fill and to work through. Last one, and we'll close with this. You all right with me? Number one, he is the I am, and I am the I am not. Number two, the I am is willing when I am not, because he's able to will and to work his good pleasure in me. And the last one, number three, the I am is always with us. Always with us. The one that spoke in stars and systems and galaxies, exploded into space. The one that created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. Wasn't tired, wasn't worn out, wasn't exhausted. He didn't need a day of rest. He wasn't weary. He told through Isaiah, have you not heard that he is never weary? He never runs out of creativity. He never runs short of love. He never runs less than, because he's always I am. He is life, and everything comes from him. And all things that are made were made by him and for him. And through him, he holds all things together by the word of his power. And he holds you and I and this planet in the very palm of his hand. He is very, very, very big. Bigger than any problem you'll ever face or you'll ever have. And he says, I am always with you. Last words of Jesus, Matthew, the 28th chapter. The I am, that day and that night in Gethsemane, when they came after him, and he said to them, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he looked at them and he said, I am. And they fell down because of the power of the I am. Last words of Jesus in Matthew, the 28th chapter. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them after the resurrection. This is the last words that Matthew records. And he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Now, maybe that doesn't mean a lot to you, but that's just spoken volumes to me. All authority has been given me in heaven and earth. That means authority, demonic, natural, spiritual, civil, all authority has been given to Jesus Christ. All authority. And this is what he says. Go therefore, because it's been given to me, now I'm commissioning you. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. And so be it. The I am says that all authority has been given to him. Therefore, because he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords, he has delegated that authority to his people on planet Earth called the church. He says, because I've got authority, I'm delegating it to you now. You go into the highways and the byways of this planet to your generation, because I've wired you to carry my power, and I am with you always, even into the end of the age. So what does that mean? The I am is always with me. Well, it means that I am learning to live consciously in the presence of God every day. Every day, I get up and I say, Lord, I'm not alone today. I'm not watching TV by myself. I'm not putting my makeup on by myself. I'm not in the shower by myself. I'm not on the road by myself. I'm not at the bank by myself. I'm not having a fight with my husband by myself. I'm not talking to my kids by myself. I'm not, you know what? Fill in the blanks. But learning every day to live in the conscious presence of the Lord, that He is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that you are never alone. Single women, you don't ever have to have another moment of terror or fright again, because you live in a cruel world, because the I am that I am is with you 24/7. Men of God, you don't have to be afraid when you walk down a street or when you go to downtown LA. Like, I took Rick to downtown LA with me. He got a little nervous and I said, what's the matter, Rick? He says, I'm kind of bald and I'm kind of white and I'm kind of in a dangerous neighborhood. I said, oh, come on, Rick, we're fine. Why? Because I am is with us. If you're where you're supposed to be in the will of God, you don't have to be afraid. You are safer in the will of God than you are anywhere else on the planet. And when you are living every day conscious of the presence of God and you are wanting to do His will, like part two, remember, He is willing when I'm not. He's at work both to will and to do His good pleasure in me. So when I wake up in the morning and I say, Lord, here I am. I'm up for another day. I know that You've already got the universe running. I know I'm just a little piece of the story. I know that You don't need me. And I know that my life is a vapor and that, God, You're running the show. But here I am. And where are we going? And what are we going to do today? And you begin to live in a day, every day, conscious of the I am. I call it the I am day. I live in the I am day. Kind of like the Sabbath rest. I'm not going to give you all these scriptures. I'm going to end. What does that mean? It means the I am day is like this. I wrote some things down. It's the look what God has done day. I'm getting up today and it's my Sabbath day, because every day is my Sabbath day in faith, right? And it's look what the Lord has done day. It's the I am living in the I am day. All power and authority belong to Him day. God is huge and I can trust Him day. I belong exclusively to Him day. He never leaves me or forsakes me day. Everything does not hinge on me day. Wow, what a thought. I have no worries because He's always with me every day day. It's called I live in the I am day. Because He's never, ever left you or forsaken you. When He looked at those soldiers and He said, who do you seek? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am. And they fell down. Just like He told Moses, I am that I am. I am not, and either are you, but He is so I am. And you can rest that it doesn't depend on you. It does depend on Him. Number two, the I am is willing, especially when we're not. And when we'll just step away from being stubborn and say, okay, you don't need to do the healing. You don't need me to do the healing. You just need me to do the touching. Get me some lepers, God. I'll touch them. It may be your family first. They may be the most leprous people in your life right now. But God wants to touch those closest to you with His healing touch of I am. And number three, He never leaves us or forsakes us, because the I am is always with us. So girls and boys, children of God, live in the I am day. Live in the look what the Lord has done day. Live in the it doesn't hinge on me day. Live in the I don't have to worry because He's in control day. Live every day conscious that the I am will never leave you or forsake you.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Deborah Cobray.
If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about the Rock Church or other resources, log on to www.rockchurch.com.